On the winter morning of Wednesday, January 8th, 1969, a 49-year-old attorney walked into the Capitol building in Jefferson City with the intention of starting a new job. William Morris, a World War II veteran from the Kansas City area, had been appointed lieutenant governor by then-Governor Warren Hearns 1 week earlier. Morris prepared to take his place presiding over the Missouri Senate on the opening day of the legislative session.
But instead, there was a smoldering fight over the Senate's presiding officer.
That's Renee Glass, a researcher with the Springfield-Greene County Library District. She's scouring over an old Associated Press article printed in the Daily Capital News, a Jefferson City newspaper at the time. According to that article, the Senate President Pro Tem, Earl Blackwell, had, quote, threatened to throw Morris out if he entered the Senate chamber on the grounds that he was illegally appointed.
And it was averted at the last minute, basically, when he backed off and left.
Blackwell believed the governor was barred by law from filling that vacancy, according to the article. But Morris and the governor disagreed. They felt the Constitution gave the governor the power to appoint a lieutenant governor. Fast forward nearly half a century, and Missouri finds itself in the exact same debate. Hours after Governor Mike Parson appointed Senator Mike Kehoe as lieutenant governor Monday, the Missouri Democratic Party filed a lawsuit contending that the appointment was not within the governor's authority. There are two key differences between Morris's appointment and Kehoe's.
So the November 5th, 1968 election for lieutenant governor, the person who won that was W.S. Bill Morris.
That's John Dugan, the Missouri State Archivist in Jefferson City. So Morris was elected to that position. Kehoe was not. The second difference is timing. Morris was appointed 12 days before his formal inauguration because the outgoing lieutenant governor, Thomas Eagleton, vacated the position early. Kehoe could potentially be in the office for 2 years. So what do the Constitution and revised statutes actually say? First, the Constitution addresses this in Article 4, Section 4. The governor shall fill all vacancies in public offices unless otherwise provided by law. And much of the controversy rests on that constitutional phrase, unless otherwise provided by law. That's because the law, specifically Missouri's revised statutes 105.030, says the governor is to fill any vacancy in elected state or county office other than the offices of lieutenant governor, which lawmakers identified by name, and a handful of others. So the dividing question has become, does this law go so far as to say the governor cannot appoint a lieutenant governor?
Yes. I mean, I think that's exactly what it says.
That's former Missouri Supreme Court Chief Justice Michael Wolf. He believes Missouri's governor has no power under the state constitution or state statutes to fill a vacancy in the office of lieutenant governor. There are laws giving the governor authority to fill vacancies in all other statewide offices, like state auditor, attorney general, and treasurer, except for the office of lieutenant governor. According to the state's official manuals, the vast majority of times the position has been vacated, it's remained open until the next election. And Wolf says the Constitution in Article 4, Section 11A, provides for an order of succession and specifically mentions what to do, quote, if there be no lieutenant governor.
So there's always going to be somebody assuming the office of governor, whether there is or is not a lieutenant governor.
I asked Wolf why the lieutenant governor appears to be singled out among statewide office holders in the law. His opinion is that the office traditionally didn't have many duties. The lieutenant governor formally presides over the Senate and casts a tie-breaking vote when needed. Wolf said those duties and the office's relatively new responsibilities of advocating for veterans and seniors could be assigned elsewhere in the executive branch. On Tuesday, May 29th of this year, then-Lieutenant Governor Mike Parson was on his farm in southwest Missouri when he got a phone call that altered his life's trajectory. The governor, Eric Greitens, was planning to resign 3 days later, meaning Parson would soon take the reins. Parson returned to the Capitol that evening. There, with composure and optimism, he told a swarm of reporters that the state of Missouri, beleaguered as it was from the political scandals of the Greitens administration, was going to be just fine. Parson was sworn in on June 1st. When appointing Kehoe, Parson said he had consulted two respected legal experts on the matter, one Democrat and one Republican. Those attorneys were Joe Bednar, who was chief counsel for Governors Carnahan and Wilson, and Lowell Pearson, who was the top attorney for Governor Matt Blunt. Pearson said the Constitution is clear in saying there shall be a lieutenant governor.
So I interpret that to express the intent of the writers of the Constitution that there shall be a person occupying the office.
And remember the other section of the Constitution that said the governor can fill all vacancies unless otherwise provided by law? Lowell Pearson does not feel that the law about filling vacancies prohibits the governor from making this appointment.
Where we have such a clear constitutional statement of authority, in my opinion, the legislature would have to be much more explicit to remove that than it has done.
It would be a grave act, supporters of Kehoe's appointment feel, to remove a constitutional power intended for a governor. Attorney Jim Layton, who was Missouri's Solicitor General for many years, doesn't think the law is clear either way, and that could lead to serious problems if this is not resolved, he said.
So let's suppose that the state Senate ties 17-17, and Lieutenant Governor Kehoe breaks the tie. A bill passes, the governor signs the bill.
But then, what if someone comes in and says, sorry, folks, he wasn't the real lieutenant governor. That bill was not adopted, and I'm not bound by that law. A similar legal challenge could be made if Kehoe needed to suddenly assume the office of governor. And Layton said, there's a reason why a lieutenant governor would ideally be elected by the entire state.
That is, you and I vote for them. We decide who that person is going to be. And then that person, as our representative, breaks the tie in the Senate.
There was legislation proposed this year that would have clarified the governor's authority to appoint a lieutenant governor, but it was squashed in the Missouri House. Other than Morris's appointment on January 1, 1969, the only other known time a lieutenant governor was appointed was in 2000, when Joe Maxwell was tapped to fill the office after Governor Mel Carnahan's sudden death. But Maxwell, like William Morris before him, had also been elected to that office and was stepping into the position just a few weeks before his inauguration. That's according to the Missouri State Archives. And that means, for the first time in history, Missouri's second in line to the governor is now someone selected for that spot by one person instead of by the entire state. I'm Jennifer Moore for KSMU News.